Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Metanoia Madness. I'm your host, Nicholas, music creator, entrepreneur turned podcaster, lover of all things spiritual, mystical, and unknown.
This is episode 88, The Art of Feeling Safe in the Good. Welcome back to Metanoia Madness, the podcast where we don't just grow. We learn to trust the unfolding, to breathe through the changes, and find meaning in the space in between. I'm Nicholas, and today we're talking about something that doesn't get mentioned very often. Not the storms, not the struggles, but the moments when life finally feels like it's working. When things are good. When peace starts to settle in. When momentum starts flowing again. And instead of feeling safe in the stillness, you find yourself waiting for it all to fall apart. The other day I was driving down the road, and while every lane around me was backed up, bumper to bumper, mine was completely clear. No brake lights, no slow cars, just open road. And yet, even with nothing in my way, I noticed myself still holding tension in my chest, still checking my mirrors every few seconds, and then looking forward waiting for someone to cut me off. And that's when it dawned on me, how often I do that in my life. When things start flowing smoothly, I start looking for what's about to go wrong. When peace finally finds me, my body doesn't know how to trust it. It braces, it prepares, it quietly whispers, "Don't relax. This won't last." But nothing ever happened. No one ever swerved in my lane. The road stayed open, and I realized maybe the danger I was expecting wasn't coming from life at all. Maybe it was coming from memory. From the times when good moments didn't last. When peace was followed by chaos. When joy was something I learned to question instead of receive. And that realization felt like a mirror. Because I've spent a lot of time learning how to find peace in chaos. But I've spent far less time learning how to feel safe when life is actually good. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you've been waiting so long for the other shoe to drop that you've forgotten how to stand still and just breathe. Maybe the peace you prayed for has finally arrived, but your nervous system hasn't caught up yet. You're still on guard, still scanning for what could go wrong, still halfway in survival mode even though there's nothing to survive. It's strange, isn't it? We spend so much time trying to reach the light, and then we finally get there and we flinch. Because our bodies remember the dark, and somewhere inside we don't believe that the good can last. But what if that's the next layer of healing? Not just learning how to endure the lows, but to trust the highs. Not just to survive the storm, but to stop waiting for one when the sun comes out. That's what this episode is about. The art of feeling safe in the good. Because peace isn't just something we find. It's something we have to learn to receive. So today I want to talk about what it really means to stop bracing for impact when life is flowing, how to stop holding your breath when everything is calm, and how to teach your body and spirit that you don't have to keep preparing for loss when you've already entered alignment. Because maybe life isn't setting you up for a fall. Maybe it's finally making room for you to rest, and the only thing left to do is learn to feel safe there. If you really sit with it, most of us were never taught how to rest in peace. We were taught how to recover from pain, how to survive chaos, how to rebuild when things fall apart, but not how to feel safe when things finally start to go right. And that's what I mean when I talk about conditioning. We learn early on what the body should prepare for. And if your story ever included instability, financial, emotional, relational, even spiritual, then your nervous system learned that peace was temporary, that safety was borrowed. That calm meant you had a few moments to prepare before everything shifted again. So as adults, we start to live like that's the rule of the universe. We brace for impact, even when there's no threat. We expect one, and what's wild is that most of the time, we call it wisdom. We call it being realistic. We say things like, I'm just staying grounded. When what it really means is, I don't trust that the calm is real. That's the wound speaking, not the wisdom. The wound that says safety is suspicious, ease is undeserved, and happiness is something you can only enjoy for a limited time before life corrects it. And it's not your fault. This is generational. So many of us grew up watching people we love survive through instability. They taught us resilience, but they couldn't always teach us rest. They taught us how to endure the storms, but not how to bathe in the sun. And now, when the weather clears, we're still carrying umbrellas. That kind of conditioning keeps us out of flow, because flow requires trust. It requires that open-hearted presence that says, I'm safe right now, even if I don't know what's coming next. But when you've lived most of your life waiting for the next problem, trust doesn't feel natural. It feels naive. So you start rehearsing outcomes before they happen. You start building exit plans for situations that haven't gone wrong. You stay half present, half prepared, as if being vigilant will stop disappointment from finding you. But here's the truth. It doesn't stop it. It just drains you before it ever arrives. When you're always on alert, even during the good, you never actually get to feel the good. It passes through you instead of landing within you. It becomes something you observe rather than experience. And I think for a lot of us, that's the quiet tragedy of healing. We do all this inner work to invite peace in, and when it finally knocks, we don't recognize it. It feels too foreign, too unfamiliar, too quiet, because we never taught that safety could feel that soft. We're taught to chase it, not to rest in it. But if we zoom out and look at it spiritually, peace is not something that comes and goes. It's something that's always there. It's us who fluctuate. It's our conditioning that interrupts it. It's our trauma that teaches us to only trust life when we're struggling, because at least then, we're in control of the outcome. And that's what makes this so complicated. Even when the body is safe, the mind doesn't always believe it. The heart doesn't always receive it. And the soul, the part of you that remembers truth, has to whisper, this calm is real. You can trust this. That whisper might not be loud at first. It might even sound like resistance. You'll catch yourself saying, it's too quiet. It's too good. It's too easy. But that's not intuition. That's memory. That's the echo of a time when safety was fragile. And learning to tell the difference between the two is what healing in this chapter of your life looks like. Because what's coming next for you requires capacity. Not just the ability to endure the storm, but to hold the sun without flinching, to trust peace without fearing it, to open your heart to the possibility that this time it's not a setup, it's safe. When life finally starts to move smoothly, it can be hard to trust it. You start to notice yourself waiting for something to go wrong, even when everything is going right. It's almost automatic, a quiet scanning of the horizon, a subtle tightening in your chest that whispers, enjoy this, but don't get comfortable. It's what happens when you've spent too many seasons learning to prepare for loss. When pain becomes predictable, it starts to feel safer than peace. And so even when calm arrives, the body doesn't fully relax. It waits, it prepares, it tries to stay ahead of whatever it imagines might come next. That's how the cycle begins. The more you anticipate something falling apart, the harder it becomes to fully experience the moments that are actually coming together. You're halfway here and halfway in the memory of the last time things shifted. You start to confuse vigilance with wisdom. You call it being realistic when in truth, you're just afraid to be present. Because presence means surrender. It means admitting that you don't control what happens next. And for someone who has lived through chaos, control can feel like safety. So we cling to it. We tell ourselves that expecting the worst will protect us from the pain of surprise. But it doesn't protect us. It just drains us. It steals the joy that's already here. When I look back at times in my life when things were genuinely going well, I can see how often I ruined the moment by trying to predict its ending. I'd start wondering how long it would last. And in that wondering, I'd leave the moment entirely. It's strange how the fear of losing peace can make you abandon it before it's even gone. I think that's what happens in many of us when the good finally arrives. We've prayed for it, we've worked for it, and yet when it shows up, we question it. We analyze it, we hold it at a distance, because deep down, we don't believe it's safe to receive something we can't control. But our peace isn't something you can hold tightly. It's something that holds you. It moves through you, settles around you, and asks only that you soften enough to notice it. If you spend your peace waiting for the storm, you'll miss the quiet. You'll miss the light. You'll miss the gentle reminder that not every calm is a warning. Life will always shift. The tide will always come and go. But you weren't meant to live in constant preparation for the next wave. You were meant to learn how to float when the water is still. When things are finally good, it's okay to rest in that. It's okay to stop rehearsing for loss. You've already survived enough to know that you can handle what comes. Now it's time to learn how to handle what stays. Because peace doesn't disappear when you stop fearing it. It expands. And the moment you stop anticipating the fall, you start realizing you were never falling at all. You were rising into a life that finally feels safe to receive. When you've lived in survival mode for a long time, calm feels unfamiliar. It's quiet in a way that doesn't always feel safe. Your body starts scanning for noise, for tension, for proof that you will still know how to protect yourself. It's strange how easy it is to breathe through pain, but how hard it can be to breathe through peace. Pain has direction. It gives you something to fix, something to focus on. Peace asks you to be still, and that stillness can feel like free fall. The truth is, our bodies remember chaos more vividly than they remember safety. Even when life is settled, our nervous system can still be searching for the old rhythm. So when calm arrives, the mind might whisper, something's off. But nothing's off. You've just outgrown the chaos that once felt normal. This is why regulating the calm takes practice. It's not about convincing yourself that nothing bad will ever happen again. It's about teaching your body that you don't have to be ready for it all the time. You don't have to keep gripping the steering wheel when the road is clear. Sometimes I'll notice it when I'm sitting alone. Everything's fine, bills are paid, work is steady, the people in my life are good. And yet there's a subtle hum under my skin, as if I'm waiting for a problem to solve. That hum is habit. It's the echo of years spent trying to stay ahead of disappointment. And it takes conscious effort to notice it and choose stillness instead. When calm feels uncomfortable, that doesn't mean it's wrong. It means you're entering a part of yourself that hasn't felt safe before. And that's the start where real healing begins. So much of peace is about permission. Permission to rest. Permission to not perform. Permission to feel good without earning it. When you've learned to associate worth with struggle, peace can feel like you're sitting in idle. You start wondering if you should be doing more, if you should be planning for what's next, if it's irresponsible to just be content. But contentment isn't laziness. It's alignment. It's the pause where your energy resets before the next creation begins. When you can sit in that space without fidgeting, without reaching for the next problem, that's when your nervous system is healing. That's when peace begins to feel like home instead of a temporary stay. The next time you feel yourself tensing up in a moment of calm, try this. Instead of asking what might go wrong, ask what is already right. Notice the softness in the room, the stillness in your breath, the absence of resistance. Let yourself lean into that. You don't have to hold your joy like it might disappear. You can let it rest in your hands, light and easy, like something that belongs there. And maybe that's the shift we're really learning. To stop chasing peace as if it's a destination and start recognizing it as a state we can return to at any time. To remember that calm isn't the opposite of growth. It's the proof that growth is working. It's what happens when your inner world finally matches the outer one you've been building. Peace doesn't mean nothing is happening. It means everything is finally aligned enough that you can hear yourself again. The more you practice this, the easier it becomes. Not because life stops changing, but because you stop resisting the parts that feel still. You start to trust that quiet doesn't mean empty, that ease doesn't mean lazy. That joy doesn't have to be questioned before it's enjoyed. You start to regulate in the calm, and that's where life starts to expand again. There's a moment in the journey when the question shifts from, when will things get better, to can I let them be good? Sounds simple, but that shift changes everything. Because letting life be good requires a deeper kind of openness. It asks you to release the tension you've been carrying for years. It asks you to trust the good enough to let it stay. That's what expanding your capacity to receive really means. It's not just about asking for more. It's about being able to hold more when it arrives. When love comes in, can you receive it without suspicion? When opportunities appear, can you accept them without guilt? When peace finally surrounds you, can you rest in it without reaching for a reason to justify it? That's the edge most of us reach when our external world starts to align with our internal growth. We think the challenge will be surviving the next setback, But the real challenge becomes learning how to stay open when the blessing arrives. Your body has been trained to associate comfort with danger. Abundance will make you flinch. You'll find ways to minimize it. You'll question why it's happening. You'll say things like, it's probably temporary, or it's too good to be true. But the truth is, it's only unfamiliar because your nervous system hasn't fully caught up with your evolution. You've built this peace. You've called it in through every version of yourself that refused to give up. You've earned the calm that surrounds you now. But earning and allowing are two different things. You can build peace and still not feel safe enough to receive it. This is where the work shifts from doing to being. From chasing alignment to becoming it. From manifesting in theory to embodying it in reality. There's a quote I once read that said, the universe will only give you what you're ready to hold. And I think about that often. Not as a punishment, but as an invitation. Because sometimes what delays the blessing isn't life withholding it. It's us constricting. It's us saying, I want more, but not believing we're safe when we get it. So how do you expand your capacity to receive? You start noticing when you shrink. When things feel soft, too easy, too good. Notice the instinct to pull back. Notice the voice that tells you to brace, then breathe. Because that moment of tension isn't a sign that something's wrong. It's a sign that something is healing. You're expanding beyond what your old self could handle. And as we know, expansion doesn't always feel comfortable. It stretches you and asks you to trust. It invites you to keep your heart open even when your mind wants to protect it. So the next time you catch yourself minimizing a blessing, remind yourself that safety isn't built through control. It's built through surrender. And when you stop gripping so tightly, you create space for good to settle in. And that's the beauty of this part of the journey. The more you learn to receive, the less you have to reach. The more you trust what's already here, the easier it becomes to attract more of it. Not because you're chasing abundance, but because you're aligned with it. You're finally living in the vibration of someone who believes they deserve peace, love, and joy. The more you practice this, the more natural it feels. Peace stops feeling like something that could disappear. It starts to feel like something that's been waiting for you to stop running. When you can look around and say, this is enough and I am safe here, that's when life begins to expand again. Because safety and abundance speak the same language. They require openness. They both ask for trust. And maybe that's what this entire chapter of your life is teaching you. That peace is never meant to feel fragile. That the good isn't waiting to turn bad. That you're allowed to stop rehearsing for loss and start rehearsing for receiving. You are safe in the calm and you are safe in the softness of everything you once thought you had to earn. And the more you trust that, the more your life begins to reflect it. There's something sacred about realizing that peace doesn't have to be earned, that it doesn't have to be justified or balanced by struggle to be valid, that maybe, after everything you've walked through, the open space you're standing in right now isn't a pause before the next storm. Maybe it's the arrival. The road finally cleared, the weight finally lifted, the noise finally softened enough for you to hear yourself again. And maybe what you're feeling isn't the fear of something going wrong. Maybe it's just the unfamiliarity of peace itself. Because when your life has been built on resilience, rest can feel confusing. When strength has come from surviving, ease can feel suspicious. It's not that you don't want it. It's that part of you still doesn't know what to do with it. But that's where the real art comes in. The art of feeling safe in the good is not about ignoring life's changes or pretending everything will always stay the same. It's about learning to be fully present in what's right now without treating it like it's fragile. It's remembering that peace is not the absence of motion, but the fullness of alignment. You've already done the work of becoming. You've already walked through the unraveling, the rebuilding, the surrendering. This chapter isn't about proving that you're strong enough to survive anymore. It's about allowing yourself to be at peace with the fact that you already are. When I was driving in the open lane, when no one swerved into my path, when no one cut me off, the lane stayed clear. The moment wasn't a setup, it was a mirror. A reminder that sometimes the flow really is that simple. That you don't have to brace for life to take what it just gave you. Because peace doesn't need our protection. It needs our participation. It asks us to show up the same way we've shown up for our healing. Fully, honestly, and without trying to predict what comes next. Maybe this is the part of the journey where you stop trying to make sense of everything and start letting yourself feel it. Maybe you don't need to search for meaning in every quiet season. Maybe you can just let it be quiet. The more you do, the more you realize peace isn't something that visits. It's something that was always waiting underneath the noise. You just needed to remember how to listen. You're not behind for resting. You're not lazy for slowing down. You're not naive for trusting the calm. You're aligned. You're here and you're safe to stay here. So when you find yourself in those rare, clear moments of life, when there's no resistance, no chaos, no struggle to solve, let yourself breathe. Don't tense. Don't look around waiting for the catch. Just breathe. Because sometimes the miracle isn't in what you've overcome. It's in finally realizing you don't have to overcome anything at all. You just have to allow what's good to stay. And that is the art of feeling safe in the good. If there's one thing I want you to take from today's conversation, it's this. You are allowed to feel safe when life is good. You are allowed to unclench. You are allowed to stop waiting for the drop. You are allowed to believe that the stillness you're standing in isn't the calm before the storm, but the calm that comes after the storm. The calm you've been praying for. For so many of us, peace feels new, and anything new takes time to feel natural. So if you find yourself second-guessing the calm, be gentle. That's not failure, that's just your body remembering what chaos used to feel like. And with time, it will remember what safety feels like too. Learning to feel safe in the good is really learning to feel safe in yourself. Because when your peace doesn't depend on circumstances, you stop needing everything around you to stay perfect in order to feel okay. You start carrying that calm inside you. And that's when peace stops being something that comes and goes and starts becoming who you are. So before we close, I want to leave you with a few words to sit with this week. Where in my life have I been waiting for the good to end instead of allowing it to expand? What would it look like to stop preparing for loss and start learning to feel safe in the abundance that's already here? And when you catch yourself spiraling, remember these words. I am safe when life is calm. I am safe when things go right. I allow myself to rest in peace without questioning it. I do not brace for endings. I receive what's here fully. Peace is not temporary. It is the natural state I've finally remembered. Let these words sink in. Say them out loud if you can. Let your body hear you speak them, because the body is always listening. And if today's message resonated with you, if you're in a season where you're learning to trust your own calm, I created something that can help. It's my free Start With Why Clarity Guide. It's designed to help you reconnect with your foundation so that peace, purpose, and alignment don't feel like temporary highs, but something you can build your life on. You can download that right now on MetanoiaMadness.com. Until next week, I'm Nicholas, and this is Metanoia Madness, signing off.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.